Welcome to Letter from the Capitol, a bi-monthly podcast covering national security, economic, and cultural issues.
Greetings, I'm John Wallstetter, your host. Welcome to my Letter from the Capitol podcast. Today we will discuss why we are losing wars. We keep making the same mistakes over and over. If Pope Francis sees piecemeal World War III in multiplying conflicts, why can't our president see this? President Obama's evident aversion to melding force to diplomacy, he instantly rules out most military action in major cases, tees up author Robert Kagan's argument that the country needs a debate on whether, not when, to use force. He notes that the U.S. has frequently put boots on the ground during the 20th and 21st centuries, writes Kagan. Counting only the larger interventions with boots on the ground, there has been one intervention on average every 4.5 years since 1898. Overall, the United States has been engaged in combat somewhere in the world in 52 out of the past 116 years, or roughly 45% of the time. Since the end of the Cold War, the rate of U.S. interventions has been higher, with an intervention roughly once every 3 years, and U.S. troops intervening or engaged in combat in 19 out of 25 years, or more than 75% of the time since the fall of the Berlin Wall. Another feature of the president's worldview is illuminated by Russia scholar Leon Aron, who writes that having lost the moral dimension of wars between sides good and evil, ceasefires and peace trump victory and tragically help the evil side survive. Writes Aron, two reasons in the postmodern canon could provide an explanation. First, while someone's victory implies someone's defeat, peace, no matter how fraudulent or short-lived, superficially has no losers, and for that reason is vastly preferable. Second, the right and wrong, the just and unjust, the good and evil are inherently suspect because values themselves are suspect. Western opinion makers appear to have learned from elite universities that values are individual and subjective. As a result, they must be taken out of political discourse and decision making. Hence, too, the coverage by the elite media of the West of both wars as conflicts in which the word just or its synonyms never once appear. Both sides are somehow equally at fault, and therefore a victory by one side is not more morally agreeable than by the other. Ever perceptive national security expert Michael Ledeen suggests that the bad guys think they're winning. He writes, a remarkable quantity of the analysis of the current unpleasantness is devoted to explaining what is really going on inside the various hostile regimes and organizations around the world. The tacit assumption being that foreign policy is only understandable in the context of domestic disputes, power plays, schemes, and whatnot. Thus, Putin's maneuvers regarding Ukraine or Moldova are reflections of inner turmoil. Hamas's attacks on Israel show us the internal divisions of the movement, and the proclamations of one or another caliphate are the result of power struggles within the Islamist universe. Thus, Iran's annoying refusal to come to terms with the West is because of an ongoing spat between Iranian reformers and hardliners. Ledeen sees leaders of Russia, Hamas, Iran, and the Palestine Authority presenting themselves as avengers of grave historic wrongs. They hate us, he writes, both for what we have done and who we are. He then quotes Jonathan Swift, you cannot reason someone out of something he wasn't reasoned into in the first place. Put simply, Mike writes that the bad guys do not want the same things we want. In another posting on war, he calls war the normal state of human affairs with rare interludes of relative peace, noting a famed dictum of Machiavelli, man is more inclined to do evil than to do good. Scholar Elliot Cohn writes that Obama simply cannot accept that war is war. He contrasts Obama with the president Obama thinks he is, Lincoln, to whom O is in fact the antithesis. writes Cohen, therein lies the difference between Lincoln and Obama, which explains much of the wreckage that is U.S. foreign policy in Gaza and elsewhere today. Lincoln accepted war for what it is. Obama does not. The Gaza war is a humanitarian tragedy for Palestinian civilians caught in the crossfire. It is also a barbaric conflict as leaders of Hamas hide their fighters behind children while baiting their enemy to kill innocents. But first and foremost, it is a war, a mortal contest of wills between two governments and two societies. The bottom line is that it is awfully hard to fight a war if you can't name the enemy, don't understand that you are in fact at war, don't understand why your enemy is fighting you, and don't know the difference between enemies you can negotiate with and implacable adversaries who desire your destruction. There is absolutely no question in the case of ISIS or Hamas or Hezbollah that they desire America's destruction. Vladimir Putin is a different case. He desires merely to be preeminent in the world as a world superpower and doesn't desire a major war with the United States. So one can treat him as a threat without actually being at war with him. In general, we would be well advised, once we figure out, if we ever do, that we really are at war, to declare war, and that way we establish the true state of relations between us and our adversaries, which frees us to do a lot more things than if we treat such things as a criminal matter. For a letter from the Capitol, this is John Wallstetter. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute. Letter from the Capitol is a trademark and copyright of John Wallstetter. Rebroadcasts of this podcast are allowed only with permission of the Discovery Institute. For more information, please visit www.letterfromthecapitol.com or www.discovery.org.